You heard that safe drivers get rewarded with Snapshot from Progressive, so you went online to check it out. But then you saw an ad for a vintage baseball cap, and now you find yourself checking the stats of that team's second baseman in 97, wondering why his stolen base total dropped after his rookie season. Wonder how much his rookie card is worth. Yes, they said it was easy to save money with Snapshot from Progressive, but they forgot about the rest of the internet. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
It's time for this week's episode of the Inside Line Formula One podcast. So we have two very specific questions that we're going to discuss on this episode. Firstly, will Lewis Hamilton win the 2019 Constructors' Championship?
Yes, you guys, you heard that right. Mithila did call it out right. We mean the Constructors' Championship in 2019. And the second question would be, what could Ferrari's next mistake be in the 2019 Formula One season? So, Mithila, what question do we get to answering first?
Kunal, I'm just going to go with Lewis Hamilton first because you never know how quickly he's going to wrap up the 2019 Constructors' Championship. So, let's start.
Yes, so in recent history and, of course, in my memory, it was back in 2013 when Sebastian Vettel won the Constructors' Championship. So, he scored more points individually than the team that came second, okay, in the Constructors' Championship. And if I remember correctly, we also had an episode on this particular story back in the days as well.
My God, on that note, guys, we're nearing 300 episodes, 300 glorious episodes of the Inside Line Formula One podcast. Thank you so much for your listens, comments, shares, love.
Yes, we've actually had several former Formula One World Champion drivers on our show. You guys already know Mika Häkkinen, Nico Rosberg, two former World Champions. We've had David Coulthard, Nico Hülkenberg, Sergio Perez, Esteban Ocon, Charles Leclerc, and several host of drivers. And you know exactly where to find us: on iTunes, on Audio Boom, on Google Podcasts, and everywhere else. And following up in this episode, we also have Lucien with his Moments in Time section, speaking about the history and the most historic moments from the Canadian Grand Prix.
Great. So back to Lewis Hamilton. Kunal, it would be such a rare feat. Imagine a driver individually outscoring a team of two drivers.
Honestly, I don't care which of the Mercedes drivers wins it, but I do believe Mercedes absolutely deserve it. And you know, ironically, Hamilton's been saying that his performances this season have been average.
And I've heard you saying that you want Mercedes to win all 21 races this season. You are strange.
Yes, you know, Mercedes are performing a class above everyone else in every department. They're showing Ferrari, Red Bull and everyone else how Formula One should actually be, and that's why I am cheering for them to win everything this year. And you know, frankly, up until now, no other team in the 2019 Formula One season has been as deserving as Mercedes.
But in Canada, so Toto Wolff has said that the nature of the circuit could play into the hands of their rivals. Obviously, by rivals, he means Ferrari. But Kunal, it sounds very dramatic, but this is exactly what Toto Wolff has been saying and doing for every race this season.
As have the two Formula One drivers of Mercedes. And I really wish at this point, you know, all of Mercedes came out together and said it out aloud. Yes, we wish to win all the 21 Grand Prix of this season because, let's be honest, there is no other team on the grid that actually doesn't want to win all the races.
I just remembered one of our previous episodes where we said that we should just give every team on the grid a Mercedes engine.
Well, this reminds me, of course, of Niki Lauda, because news is out that he was possibly the only one in Mercedes who wanted to give Red Bull a Mercedes engine. What a champion move that would have been.
But Kunal, you know, Mercedes engines aside, I think 2019 is where we should just give every team on the grid an entire Mercedes racing car. And a bonus one for Esteban Ocon. 21 cars.
Well, for Ferrari, okay, we can make an exception for Ferrari because they claim they don't really need another racing car, because they have a fundamentally strong car. That's what Sebastian Vettel still keeps saying. So for Ferrari, we should just have Mercedes or even Red Bull Racing just manage their pit wall on the racing weekend.
But can I just hold on? We're not going to talk about Ferrari or anyone else, because I am still talking about this man, Lewis Hamilton. So if Lewis wins in Canada, he will be tied with Michael Schumacher as the most successful driver ever in Canada.
Slowly and steadily, Hamilton is inching closer to Michael Schumacher's records one by one. You know, he's 14 wins away to the record of 91 race wins. And then, of course, he's two world championships away, which, you know, actually makes me wonder. And I'm going to ask you, what do you think he's going to win first?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the 91 wins.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so as well. But I have to quote a listener of ours, Greg Dennis. He said on our Facebook page that Lewis Hamilton has a radio strategy going into every race this season.
You know, Kunal, I have a very strong view about that.
Well, I do too. And Hamilton is the hero Formula One is banking on to keep audiences alive. And guys, remember this, every sports business, especially in broadcast, works on hero worship. Now, in Formula One's case, if Hamilton wins everything with a cakewalk, the sport will be perceived as not so competitive. And again, let's remember, we are still being considered as that. So, you know, this is how Formula One sees it, that if Hamilton is going to win everything, why not make it look like it's been really tough? And that's where the radio messages are playing such a crucial role.
And currently, Hamilton seems to be the only hero in Formula One. So Verstappen and Leclerc, they're good. They're coming up the ranks, you know, the next generation though. Vettel's popularity is on the decline. Alonso's gone. And Kimi Raikkonen's just more focused on having fun and taking care of his kids than winning races.
Now, can you imagine if Hamilton, Vettel and Raikkonen retire? The grid would be full of kids. And this includes Verstappen, Lando Norris, George Russell's, pretty much all in their 20s. And then I would believe that either Hülkenberg, Perez, or maybe even Daniel Ricciardo could be the oldest driver on the grid.
Wow, I can't believe it. Toto Wolff said that Mercedes looks to be on course to participate in Formula One even after 2021. And not surprisingly, Hamilton said that he would stay along to win, just make the most of this winning opportunity.
There's not a single one of us who would do otherwise if we were in Lewis Hamilton's position.
And Kunal, all of this just works against Esteban Ocon. You know, his Instagram stories are just about him racing RC cars. I feel so bad for him.
Well, they're still electric, so it's closer to Formula E than Formula One.
Yeah, and in the recent roadshow by Mercedes, it was actually the other Esteban Gutierrez who drove the Mercedes.
Ocon could actually get some tips from Lewis Hamilton on how to be quick in racing RC cars as well, because Lewis Hamilton's had some phenomenal success even in that category.
Okay, anyway, Kunal, that's like what, half of this episode that's been dedicated to Mercedes and Hamilton. We need to move.
Well, that is the reality of Formula One these days, but you know, we can now try and make a balance. Zak Brown said that McLaren are showing Mercedes-like qualities.
Kunal, we need balance and you're back to Mercedes.
No, I am actually stating what Zak Brown said, which I really hope is true at the moment for McLaren, but it just sounds plain funny. I mean, I really hope McLaren don't end up getting overexcited about their good start to 2019. And Carlos Sainz Jr. has already issued a warning to his team.
Yeah, McLaren's Indy 500 operations were certainly not Mercedes-like. Like, not in any way. McLaren would eye the 2021 Le Mans with Alonso. I think basically the one thing McLaren aren't letting go of is Fernando Alonso.
And in fact, they're following Fernando Alonso's footsteps. They know that wins in Formula One aren't going to come by anytime soon. So, you know, because they're in the business of motorsport, why not invest in other important motorsport series as well? And that sort of makes sense. But I must say that after their Indy 500 fiasco, Fernando Alonso has said that if he returned to the Indy 500 in 2020, he would race for the most competitive option available. And in this case, there's a good chance that a competitive option would come with a Honda engine.
Wow.
I'm going to say no more.
Yeah, I just hope that this isn't the first visible crack in the McLaren-Alonso relationship, or shall I say romance.
Well, you know, McLaren is much more. We have seen Lando Norris have a good run on track. And what impressed me even more about Lando Norris was when he said that he's learning Verstappen's racing style via sim racing.
Yeah, you know, the next generation may well say that I'm learning my competitor's style purely by observing him walk, you know, how he bends and turns around the corner. But this is what technology has done to Formula One competition. It's made it so much more relatable to the average fan.
And since we are on technology, I just remember that Ferrari are going to bring an updated tech at Canada and in France. They are going to run cars without the Mission Win Now branding. Now, can you imagine such kind of shit still remains priority for Ferrari?
I cannot imagine, Kunal.
Well, you know, I know they're running, a business, and there is legislation in different countries around different kinds of sponsorships. But I really just wish that Ferrari focused on performances.
Yes, but Mattia Binotto said that he doesn't see Ferrari's performance improving in the near future. That's crazy.
We've actually reached a point in the 2019 Formula One season when Ferrari are going to make a statement where they will say that they're giving up on 2019 and will focus early on 2020. You know, but as a special in this week's episode, we are going to discuss a listener-led question. What could be Ferrari's next mistake in 2019? So I have to thank Aditya for this question and idea. And by the way, he is a cousin of mine, but that's not why he's a listener, or at least I hope not.
Well, I know that he's a Formula One fan. So Kunal, I think that's all that matters. Come one, come all. So let's go back to Aditya's question. What do you think Ferrari's next mistake will be?
You know, as the 2019 season has progressed, Ferrari's mistakes have begun to occur and appear earlier with each passing race. So in Bahrain, we saw their mistake was, or their problems were in the race. It cut to Monaco, their problems came forward to qualifying and even in FP3 when Sebastian Vettel crashed. So I really wonder what their next mistake could be like.
Yeah, so Kunal, you know what? Let's just make a list of 5 mistakes that Ferrari could make in 2019. And you know what? Just to make it a little more challenging for us, let's only list out new mistakes. So anything they've already done is off limits to make it harder for us.
You know, we are we are actually becoming a podcast of listicles, but why not? It's funny. It's fun. We add the humor to Formula One. That rhymed, by the way. But in my view, the most obvious mistake Ferrari could make in the coming few races is they could have Vettel in Leclerc's car and vice versa. And then they could just all blame it on technology, because that's the easy thing to do in Formula One these days, as we already know.
Yeah, like in Monaco, because every fan watching could see that Leclerc would get kicked out, but not Ferrari.
Well, I really wonder if Ferrari are using the ever lagging F1 timing app while tracking Leclerc's qualifying performances. And, you know, going back to switching cars, I really hope they end up switching engineering teams as well, because, or I hope they don't, because that would mean that Vettel's team is managing Leclerc and vice versa, and that could spice things up at Ferrari as well.
Okay, so Ferrari's next silly mistake could be just at arriving at the wrong circuit, or just not arriving in Canada at all. And here, Kunal, they have a very easy excuse, because they could just blame Formula One. It was only a few races ago that Formula One's official calendar had the much-required add-to-calendar option.
Oh, yes. I so missed that option at the start of the season. It was one really basic mistake that Formula One made, and I really hope they don't make it again in 2020. The other mistake Ferrari could make is bringing the 2018 car to a race in 2019. But you know what? That might actually not be a mistake, or that might be a good mistake to make, because there have been several data points throughout the season that have shown that Ferrari have indeed slowed down since the last season.
Ah, Kunal, my contribution. I think that the other mistake that Ferrari could make is to issue a press release signed by one of their former team principals, you know, because they've had so many team principals in the last 5 years that their press team could just forget who the current one is, and oops.
Let's look out for that in our inboxes. You never know if something comes signed off by Stefano Domenicali or Luca Di Montezemolo or whoever else. And, okay, last on the list, they could actually put Fernando Alonso in the car, which I guess, I don't want to guess which current driver's car it would be, though.
But how would that be a mistake? Oh, wait, that would be a mistake for Alonso.
Well, several fans want Fernando Alonso back in the Ferrari, although I personally don't think that will solve the team's issues either. And all these years, you know, there has been this charm of racing for Ferrari. And that's what every single driver coming up through the ranks, including Charles Leclerc, has said. You know, the dream is to drive for Ferrari. But I quite understand, given that Ferrari is Formula One's most recognized, most successful team till date. But, you know, the question is also now to be asked if Mercedes are slowly washing that charm away from Ferrari as well.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to asking if Ferrari has missed a single opportunity to screw up in 2019.
You know, the team, they've actually undone several wrongdoings. There's news that they're finally participating in the esports championship. This is after sort of not doing so for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I'm told that the second place finisher from last year and a Mercedes esports racer, he's quit. I wonder if he's off to Ferrari then.
Well, the only Mercedes driver that Ferrari could actually poach. The bigger question to me is if Ferrari will participate in the historic and the iconic raft race in Canada. Come on, Mr. Binotto, go ahead and make sure your team participates and actually has some fun, because the raft race is a lot of fun.
And participate in the next season of the Netflix show. But Kunal, I think the one mistake that everyone wishes could be undone is Daniel Ricciardo to Renault. Renault said that they're focused on the 2020 car, and that car will have more of a qualifying focus.
Well, okay. I have no words.
Yeah, by the way, Renault is going to start winning races again from 2020. At least that's what they said back in 2017. I hope it's still true.
The beauty of the internet archives, I tell you, and the beauty of us doing research on the Inside Line F1 podcast. You know, if Renault build a qualifying focused car for 2020, they already have a big excuse ready for not delivering well in the races next year.
Yeah, or they're just so confident that if their car qualifies higher, overtaking will still be difficult in Formula One, and then they'll just hold on to positions.
Did you know that the rich energy CEO drove the Renault F1 car for fun and not the Haas?
Ouch. But Kunal, I think that's because Haas always runs low on spares because they have Romain Grosjean racing for them.
That's outright mean. And you know, he's been on our show, so we should be a little good to him.
I don't mean it.
Yeah, but finally, before we give it to Lucien, here's a quick word on Lance Stroll, the local homeboy. I wouldn't call him the local hero in Canada.
Now who's being mean?
Well, he's been on our show as well. Okay. Lance Stroll said that it's tough for him to see Williams struggle in Formula One. Now, the one driver who's actually been struggling the most in Formula One in recent times is expressing sympathy towards a former world champion team.
Yeah, Kunal, though, Lance Stroll isn't the only driver who's been struggling. There's Giovinazzi too.
Well, that's true, but Giovinazzi scored a goal in the charity football match in Monaco. So he's done something this season already.
And it was in Monaco, so bonus points for that. But Kunal, Lance Stroll has a grandstand to his name. I'm wondering if it's going to be empty though.
Or they'll just give tickets away for free. You know, why not spend a little bit more money for your son, Mr. Stroll?
Or maybe they'll pay people to come and watch, like paid spectators for the paid driver.
Well, you know, I've been in the business of sports broadcasting, and that is a very, very common used technique as well.
Okay, anyway, before shit gets more real, or before we piss off some more important people, here is Lucien with his Moments in Time section.
Welcome to Formula One Moments in Time with Lucien Byfield. This time, we are talking about the history of the Canadian Grand Prix. The Canadian Grand Prix has given us a number of first-time winners. Gilles Villeneuve in 78, Thierry Boutsen in 89, Jean Alesi in 95, Lewis Hamilton in 2007, Robert Kubica in 2008, and of course, Daniel Ricciardo in 2014. Canada also gave us the final career win from Nelson Piquet in 1991 in the Benetton, thanks to Nigel Mansell not hitting the kill switch after all, rather accidentally triggering a gearbox glitch unknown to the team and driver at the time. See Adrian Newey's book. As for Piquet, when he was asked if he felt sorry for Nigel, he didn't feel sorry for nobody. Translation, suck one, Nige. Anyway, but for firsts, 2001 was to give us the first ever brother 1-2, where Ralph led home brother Michael Schumacher. Aussie Alan Jones won at Montreal twice, as did Senna and Vettel. Piquet did it 3 times, but the heavy hitters at this track have been Lewis Hamilton with 6 wins so far, and the mighty Michael Schumacher with 7. Montreal, or Circuit Gilles Villeneuve, is a beautiful track, situated on the St. Lawrence River, a man-made island. And it has a bit of everything, from that massive back straight to the incredible photo-friendly hairpin. Notable accidents, incidents and tragedies have occurred at the Canadian Grand Prix, from Olivier Panis breaking his legs in a semi-competitive season in 97, to Heinz-Harald Frentzen going off in 99, concussing himself due to failed brakes. Ivan Capelli was to test his own resolve, let alone that of Ferrari, with a massive off in 92. Speaking of massive offs, look no further than Felipe Massa and Sergio Perez in 2014, heading towards the first corner. Who was to blame? Answer is on a postcard. How about the start of the 98 race, where Wurz and Alesi tangled, sending the Benetton of Wurz barrel rolling again and again? Robert Kubica was to feature rather spectacularly in the extreme over a two-year period, notably for his mega crash in 2007, followed by a maiden win in 2008. In 1980, Frenchman Jean-Pierre Jabouille crashed head-on into a tyre wall, breaking his legs and ending his career. But the 1982 race was to see young Riccardo Paletti involved in a start line accident. A possibly unconscious or dead Paletti was stranded in his on-fire car. It took half an hour to extricate him, and later he died. Anthony Davidson was to face a competitor of a different kind in 2007, that being a groundhog. And over the years, Ralf Schumacher, Alessandro Nannini, and Romain Grosjean have all had confrontations with them. How about Lewis Hamilton in 2008 slamming into the back of a stationary Kimi Raikkonen in the pit lane? There was Jenson Button driving Lewis Hamilton into the pit wall in 2011, tagging Fernando Alonso too, followed by what seemed like endless pit stops, running last and somehow coming through a stop-start 4-hour-long race to win over Vettel, who he forced into an error on the last lap. In closing, I have to mention my favourite Canadian Grand Prix, the 1989 race. Williams had partnered with Renault, and they were to bear fruit rather quickly with a wonderful 1-2 finish. The race was chaotic. Prost looked like the man, then literally disappeared, and on the feed we got in Australia, there was absolutely no mention of him. It was a messy, wet race, with some great carnage, spins and reliability issues that would take out Senna, who was headed for an easy win. Thierry Boutsen, the man with the Lego hairstyle, was to take his first win in a race that had seen him spin earlier on. Well, that's it for Formula One Moments in Time this week. Ciao for now.
Thank you so much, Lucien. It's the Canadian Grand Prix, and it's so historic that I'm actually looking forward to seeing if Mercedes can actually be challenged in Canada. Don't laugh. Come on.
Yeah, you know, Kunal, my favorite memory is of Kubica winning his only Formula One race for BMW Sauber way back in 2008. Nothing can beat that for me.
I think a lot of Formula One fans and listeners would agree with you on that being sort of the favorite memory. I also have a favorite memory, or I have several. Remember 2011, it was the longest Formula One race. Jenson Button won after 4 hours or something. And then this year, it's actually 20 years since the 1999 Formula One Grand Prix, obviously. And that was the Grand Prix that actually gave us the wall of the champions.
Awesome. Kunal, on to my favorite part of the podcast, predictions. Which Mercedes is going to win in China? I'm just getting straight to the point.
Well, you know, since you're getting to the point, I'm going to answer to the point. I think it's going to be Lewis Hamilton, although I wish it'll be Valtteri Bottas, you know, because we need him to be strong and closer to Lewis in the Drivers' Championship. And I still also wonder if either Mercedes driver will take the escape road down from the final chicane while attacking or defending from each other. And I just remembered Nico Rosberg actually did that one race.
Kunal, you just have to be so much more upfront with your predictions. Guys, you know, Kunal is really good at predicting stuff, and he's scared that I'm going to steal his predictions for this fantasy F1 league we play.
Okay, so
he's being very discreet.
It's Hamilton, Bottas, and then everyone else.
Okay, I think I'm going to go with Hamilton, Bottas, and then whoever else as well. By the way, I saw the Italian MotoGP, and I really want to talk about that because I'm just tempted to draw a few parallels with Formula One before we say goodbye. So, Petrucci is like Charles Leclerc. He's in a new team, he's in a top team, and he's finally scored his maiden win. Dovizioso is like Sebastian Vettel, you know, the veteran in his team, and challenging the champion, Marquez, or in Formula One's case, Lewis Hamilton, of course. Kunal, I just hope that like Petrucci, Charles Leclerc finally gets that, you know, maiden victory in Formula One.
Are you then trying to say that Valentino Rossi is like Kimi Raikkonen, you know, the coolest rider on the grid? Who might never win a race again.
Spot on.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. Look forward to the Canadian Grand Prix. Hope you guys enjoy it as well. I hope our, you know, predictions come right, although pretty easy to get predictions right these days, I would say. But we will see you in a few days after Montreal. Bye-bye.
Adios.
NerdWallet presents Money Questions Credit Card Round. Ready, Steve? No time to answer. How can you compare and apply for the best travel credit card?
Turn to the nerds.
Where can you find the best card for your credit score?
Turn to the nerds.
For a triple point bonus, is it better to earn rewards in points or miles?
I'm kidding. Turn to the nerds.
Winner, winner!
Fiscally responsible dinner.
Game's over, Steve.
From the lowest rates to the best rewards, for all your credit card questions, turn to the nerds at NerdWallet.com.